Thank you very much, Johnny, for the welcome and the introduction. Last week in Perth, in our gospel service at 12:30, the chairperson said, when he gave out the first hymn, just keep your finger in the page, because all our hymns will be from that page. And right enough, he perhaps gave out four or five hymns from pages 22 and 23. We happen to be using the same hymn book that you have. But the hymn that caught my attention last Sunday was one that our chairman didn't give out. It's number 80 in your redemption hymn book, and it says this: they tell me the story of Jesus is old, and they ask that we preach something new. They say that the babe and the man of the cross for the wise of this world will not do. It can never grow old. It can never grow old, though a million times over the story is told. While sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never grow old. While sin lives unvanquished and death rules the world, the story of Jesus can never grow old. And that is why, for 2,000 years, the very same message from the very same Bible has been presented to men and women, because the story of Jesus can never grow old. You know, the Apostle Paul, one of the great preachers of the first century, he could say this, writing to some friends in the great city of Rome: I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. The power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And surely in Scotland tonight, 2,000 years later, what men and women are looking for is salvation, is the power of God, is something that can help them overcome the sin that is unvanquished in the world, that death that is all around. And the message of the Bible, the story of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the answer to the problems and to the need and to the sadness of our world today. I want to leave with you tonight just one verse, just one part of a verse. The verse says this: for even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. For even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Before I turn to that verse, I would like to read one or two other passages from our Bible. The Bible, you see, is the inspired word of God. That is why the Bible has survived despite constant attack for so many thousands of years. It is God-breathed. It is the message of heaven for you and for me tonight. And so, when we read it, we are reading the very words of God. And the passages we're going to read we'll perhaps refer to as we go through our message tonight. First of all, in John's Gospel in chapter 3, if you have a Bible with you, feel free to turn it up and follow the reading. If not, I'll read as clearly as I can. We're going to read firstly some verses from John chapter 3. And we're going to read from verse 13 down to verse 21. We're breaking in to a story where the Lord Jesus Christ had met a religious leader a man called Nicodemus. And we're breaking into the words that the Lord Jesus was speaking to him. And so at verse 13, we read this. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Is that not a wonderful message? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Perhaps we could turn over a few pages to John's Gospel and chapter 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. And again, we are breaking into a story. The Lord Jesus is speaking this time to some Pharisees, the religious leaders, the religious elite of his day. And we're going to read from verse 7 down to verse 19. And so the Lord Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. They also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. We'll come back to that last verse we read towards the end of our service. For as there was a division among the Jews at the sayings of the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago, still today in Scotland, there is a division. There is a different response to the teaching of our Bible. And so just to finish off, the verse that we want to read, the verse that we want to speak about tonight is found in Mark's Gospel and in chapter 10, and it's part of verse 45. And so our text for tonight is Mark 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And I'm going to take as our text, missing out the few words in the middle, for even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. I want to think with you about the reason he came. I want to think with you about the rescue of men. And I want to think with you of the response by you. The reason he came, the rescue of men, and the response by you. For even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. So let's begin and ask first of all, or look first of all, at this little phrase, the reason he came. Our text says it was to give his life a ransom for many. And I guess the first thing we need to do is ask, who is he? The Bible says, our text says, it is the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus was referring to himself as Son of Man. Now, to a Jewish audience, they would immediately have in their minds gone back to the writings of the prophet Daniel. And there in Daniel and in chapter 9, Daniel talks about one like the Son of Man. And the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations and languages should serve him. And so as the Lord Jesus spoke of himself as Son of Man, those in his audience would immediately think back to Daniel and think of that coming king of whom Daniel had spoken. You may have noticed that in John's Gospel and chapter 3, the verses that we read together, the Lord Jesus again describes himself as the Son of Man. But in the same passage, he refers to the Son of God. And Mark's Gospel, the Gospel from which we have lifted our text, the very first verse, as Mark takes up his pen to write his record of the life of the Lord Jesus, he says this, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so, we can be sure that the one of whom we are speaking tonight, the one who could say For even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The next thing we want to think about, if he is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, why did he come? The reason he came, and our text tells us that he came from the glory, the majesty of heaven. And he came into the world his hands had made, the wonder of it, the God of creation. And yet the God of creation had an interest and a care for mankind, had an interest and a care for you and for me. And so the Apostle Paul would write, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman. The wonder of it, the great news from our Bible is that the Son of God came. You might be thinking, as a majestic king? No, he did not have an earthly throne. As a mighty military leader, as an influential political figure, as a man of wealth and status, to each of these questions, the answer is no. The Son of Man came. God's Son came from heaven. His birth, we thought about it recently at Christmas time. And in Luke chapter 2, the prophet, the apostle, writes that he was laid in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The Son of God came, and yet there was no room for them in the inn. What about growing up? Well, he grew up, presumed to be the son of the carpenter from Nazareth. Nazareth, a place that was despised. Nathanael, a righteous Jew, would say of Nazareth, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" And so the Son of God came, brought up the son of a carpenter from despised Nazareth, as a traveling teacher and healer. He said himself, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." And 33 years after, being wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger, he stood before a Roman judge, had been delivered over to the Roman authorities by his own people, the Jews, hated by the religious leaders in Jerusalem. And the Roman judge asks the question of the crowd, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." The Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many, and yet they all said, "Let him be crucified." He did not have anywhere to lay his head. Even at his birth, there was no room for him. Why? What is it all about? An accident of history. Just in the wrong place at the wrong time. a tragic miscalculation, misjudging the attitude of the people, misjudging the influence of the religious leaders? Was he just overtaken by circumstances out with his control? The answer is no, for our text tells us that the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. The end, the cross, death, it was the reason he came. We read in John chapter 10, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the cross of the Lord Jesus was in the mind of God long before the universe was formed, before man was created and placed in Eden's garden. God had in mind the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had in mind sending his Son to be a ransom for many. We read in John chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The God of heaven, the God of creation, is the God of love. And the demonstration of his love is seen at high water mark in this. He gave his only begotten Son. And so our first point, the reason he came to give himself a ransom for many. But the Son of Man came to rescue for the rescue of men. He came to give his life a ransom for many. It was the reason why he came. But he came to rescue men, to rescue you and me by giving his life a ransom for many. What does this mean? What does the word ransom bring to mind? It has the meaning of loosing from. The idea of redemption, the redemption price of a slave, the price paid to set one free. And the Bible, our text, is telling us that he came to rescue men and women, to set us free, to give his life a ransom for many. To understand, we need to briefly explain the problem. We need to understand why it was that he came to give his life a ransom for many. We read again in Luke's Gospel that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so, man is lost. We read in John 3 and again in John 10 that we need to be saved. The Bible teaches we are lost. The Bible teaches that we are sinners, and that is why the Lord Jesus came to rescue men. But what is sin? Well, you might be thinking, and very topical at the moment with the events over the last few days, murder. Taking another's life. That must be sin. And yes, God agrees. Murder, the taking of another life, is sin. The commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. And you are thinking, not me. You're thinking, well, that rules me out. But let's listen to what the Lord Jesus said as he was discussing this very commandment in Matthew chapter 5. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Anger, hatred, the Lord Jesus equates with murder. Adultery. And in our society today, it is almost a thing to be boasted about, but God says, thou shalt not commit adultery. And the Lord Jesus says that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so we could go on. One of the commandments is this: thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And the verse continues that God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And so sin. And the Bible would teach us that each and every one of us, without exception, in the sight of heaven, have sinned, come short of God's glory, are guilty before him in things that we think, in words that we speak, in deeds that we do, in motives that drive our actions. Sin. What are the consequences? The Bible teaches we have all fallen short of God's standard, that all have sinned. But is there a consequence for sin? Well, John chapter 3 told us. It talks about the possibility of perishing. John writes about being condemned already. You see, sin has consequences, eternal consequences. Sin will be judged. Sinful men will be called to account. And the penalty for sin is set. The judgment, the price demanded for sin cannot be changed. It is sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, eternal separation from God and well-being, in a place that the Bible calls the lake of fire, tormented day and night forever. An awful prospect. Sin that defiles and stains every one of us. Sin that has consequences and will lead to eternal judgment. But the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. He came the rescue to rescue men. The reason why he came to give his life. He came to rescue you and me. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He came to take the sinner's place. He came to bear the penalty for sin. He took your place. He took my place upon the cross, and there, the punishment, the penalty for my sin and your sin was poured out upon him, the Son of God. And so we have the cross, the reason why he came, the plan of heaven, and it is also the rescue of men. Because he took our place and bore the penalty due to us, so we can be saved. And finally, in the last minute or two of our service, the response from you. Remember The cross was not the end. He rose again the third day, the evidence that the penalty, the price, had been paid in full and God was satisfied. The response from you, we read in John chapter 10, there was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. Same division in Scotland tonight. What about you? What is your view of the cross, of the Son of Man who gave his life a ransom for many? Rescue. Escape from coming judgment is possible because he gave his life a ransom. Will you believe? Will you accept the gift of eternal life that is offered, forgiveness of sins? The choice is yours. No one else can make the decision for you. It is a decision. It is an interaction between you and your God. John chapter 3, verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so we have a response required from you. Your choice. Don't put it off. Don't delay. The day of salvation is now. And so as we bring our service to a close, we ask again, will you believe and accept him as your Saviour and Lord? Do remember our text, Mark chapter 10, verse 45. For even the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. And remember, it was the reason he came. It was for the rescue of men. But do remember that there must be a response from you. Thank you very much for coming along this evening. As Johnny said, it's not the nicest of nights. But the message that we have is a message that can revolutionize and change your life. And we thank you for coming. Pray that God will bless you for so doing. Now, our time according to that clock is just a couple of minutes over, so we'll not have a closing hymn, but I will just take a moment to bow our head and commend ourselves to God in prayer, and then our service is over.